Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
How's it going? Hey, I'm Lee McCormick. This is Tramps Like Us, Bruce Springsteen podcast. We're at episode 59, Sounds Like Bruce, volume 2. Good friend of mine, friend of the show, and fellow podcaster BJ Cramp from the Rock and or Roll podcast joins me this week to get into some more music that sounds like Bruce Springsteen. Inspired by our recent volume 1 episode, BJ came up with 15 songs of his own that sound like the boss and would most likely be appealing to Springsteen fans. Check out BJ's great podcast, Rock and or Roll, at rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.ca, and also available on iTunes, as well as this show. We hope you download, subscribe, and leave a rating and review. BJ will be joining myself and many other rock and roll podcasts for all the fun in Nashville this August for the Rock and Pod 2 Expo. We hope to see you there, and we appreciate your donations and support if you cannot attend. Information on tickets and donations can be found at NashvilleRockandPodExpo.com, and I'll leave all the details in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy another batch of songs that sound like Bruce. So welcome back to the show, one of my favorite podcasters and friends, BJ Cramp from the Rock and or Roll Show. How are you doing today, BJ?
I'm good. How are you, Lee?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Looking forward to Nashville Rock and Pod 2 this summer. That's come up in like 3 months, I guess, now, eh?
Yeah, it's already 3 months away. It's crazy.
It's going to be more of the same from last year and hopefully a bit more. We got some excellent guests coming up. I guess Vinnie Vincent was announced. We can talk about that, eh? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's insane. That's a game changer, I think. That means we don't have to worry about people showing up anymore. Like last year, I had no idea how many people were even going to show up, you know, but I'm not worried about that this year. And especially, you know, we've got some people probably going to be there that we can't really announce yet, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be big. So
that's cool. Yeah, so I encourage everybody to, if you can, get to the Nashville Palace. I think it is Nashville, Tennessee, August 25th. Check out our the website NashvilleRockandPod.com and the GoFundMe page where you can get tickets for the event and donate. I'll leave all that information in the show notes. And so we have some perks going on too for the donation stuff. Like we have, if you put $10 in, right, you're going to get access to some extra podcast content, some stuff that me and you have worked on and a lot of other podcasters too, right?
Yeah, yeah, we did that great What If episode with Eric, me and you did, about Elvis.
Yeah.
There's a cherry pie round table that I did. And That idea hasn't really led to very many contributions, so right. It kind of fizzled out, I think.
Right. Well,
but
we'll
if
see.
People actually start contributing, maybe we'll do more more exclusive stuff. There's that Eventbrite site that Chris set up where people can buy their tickets for Vinnie Vincent. He's charging for autographs and photos and
stuff. Yeah, cool.
And also on
fashion
there,
tips, maybe.
And now we have that guitar that's up for raffle that a whole bunch of people in the expo signed.
Not that. So yeah, there was that Indianapolis Kiss Expo a couple weeks ago, and a lot of the podcasters that were there that are going to be at the Nashville Rockin' Pod as a fundraiser thing, they got a guitar and they took it around. They got about 20 signatures of all the musicians and celebs that were there, right? So we're auctioning that off for a $10 kind of raffle ticket kind of thing, right?
Yeah, all you got to do is put in $10 and then your name is, in the hat, then you could possibly win it. And okay. I guess, obviously the biggest name on there is Ace Frehley. His autograph is on there. And then Bruce and Bob Kulick are on there. And Lydia Chris, Big John Hart. What's the guy? The name of the guy that started the Kiss Army. He's on there.
Bill Starkey.
Yeah, Bill Starkey signed it. So
yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, and all you have to do is put in 10, 20, 30 bucks, and then you get your name in the hat 1, 2, 3 times. So
excellent.
And there's only 300. We're only gonna take 300 entries, and then they're gonna draw the name. So
you got a good chance of winning if you want to participate.
Yeah.
In that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. So for our episode, I figured I'd have you on, and you kind of emailed me with this idea. You said you wanted to get on this show. I did one with our mutual friend of ours and podcaster, Joe Royland, a couple months ago. We did a Sounds Like Bruce episode where we talked about, songs that kind of, sound like Bruce Springsteen, songs you could hear Bruce Springsteen covering or, that were influenced by, his writing and stuff like that. And you said you could totally fill a whole episode full of sounds like Bruce stuff, right? So I'm going to kind of let you take the reins on this episode. And you turned me on to 15 songs that you think sound like Bruce Springsteen, right?
Either they sound like Bruce or they're in the same vein. And I think like big Bruce fans would definitely like them, you know, and maybe want to check these artists out further too. And I think every single song I sent you is ripped right from my records. Right. I just went through my records and pulled out a bunch of stuff. And yeah, it was fun. I had definitely a bunch, right off the top of my head, but then I was just going through my records and thinking of more,
Yeah, that's one thing I recommend people to check out your podcast, Rock and Roll, is I really like that you really go deep and you turn me on to a lot of songs and bands that, I've never heard of. And I consider myself a pretty, hardcore music fan, and I still... I'm always surprised at a lot of the songs you play on your show. And the same with this list, there's a lot of stuff that I never heard before too, right?
Yeah. Well, I've got 3,500 or so records sitting here that I went through to find these 15 songs. So
you did some work. Appreciate that. Yeah. So let's get in with it. Give me do you put these in any order or are you just going to?
Yeah, I've got them in order of I saved my favorite ones for the end. I kind of put them in order of. Yeah.
Right. Favorites.
Yeah. And then I had a bunch more that I, cut to try to get this list down to something manageable.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. You didn't like that. I sent you two Eddie and the Tide songs and I ended up taking them both off, but you weren't the fan anyways. So the 15th one on the list is the Long Riders, and this band, I have three records by these guys. I think I have their EP too. They were that there were a lot of these roots rock bands in the 80s, New Wave. It's really weird how New Wave just branched off into all these different directions. And then you have these guys that were doing kind of country rock or folk rock or whatever.
Alt country. And
In
Toronto, we had a scene called cowpunk kind of up here.
Yeah,
in Toronto.
Exactly.
We had a scene,
right. Yeah. So the Long Riders are one of those bands, and they were out of L.A. and this is from their third album, Two Fisted Tales, which was produced by Ed Stasium. And this record sounds great.
Wow, Ed Stasium. Yeah, I love him. Great producer. Worked with Ramones.
Right. And this is the very last song on the record. And I just thought it sounded like a killer jam. I was just going through trying to find which Long Riders song to pick,
Yeah.
And this is a great song. And I could totally hear Bruce and the E Street Band, knocking this song out for sure.
Yeah.
It's called Spectacular Fall. What did you think of this one?
Yeah, I dug it. It's kind of, I noticed that alt country band feel on it. I love the drums on this. I'm a big Rolling Stones fan, so I noticed the drums are kind of that straight kind of Rolling Stones feel groove, Charlie Watts kind of thing. Yeah, and I like it's a cool song. I like the outro, the refrain. They kind of just keep repeating that title and You know, right. Brings in some like kind of Bruce-esque harmonica, you know, at the end of this.
Yeah.
Spectacular fall.
Alright, so up next we've got three songs in a row that are one song each from all three guys from The Nerves. So you're probably aware of The Nerves, right?
Yeah, I've heard of them. I don't have any of their records, but they're like a, you know, early 80s kind of new wave-ish thing too, right?
70s. They actually never had an album. They had a four-song EP. I think it's from 76. And then there's some like compilations later. But yeah, that EP is amazing. And all three guys went on to have a career
in other bands and stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so the first song here is Jack Lee. He was the guitar player in The Nerves, and he had an album in 81 called Greatest Hits Volume 1. His biggest claim to fame is he's the guy who wrote Hanging on the Telephone, which was then done by Blondie. That song is on the first The Nerves EP, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool song. He wrote, I read too, he wrote Come Back and Stay by Paul Young. That was like a hit later on.
Yeah, that's on this record, but that was done by the Nerves too. There's a there's a couple different compilations of, you know, other Nerves songs besides the four that were on the EP, and then you know, and he redid a lot of his stuff on this album. He has another solo album that came out later than this that I don't have on vinyl, but this was actually when I first got on eBay, which was I think 99. It's one of the first things I looked for.
Oh, yeah.
I remember was this Jack Lee record. It's one of the first things I got back then off eBay. All
right.
So this is the first song on the album. It's called Good Times.
Good Times. All right. Yeah. So check out this power pop vibe, kind of jangly guitar, you know, cool harmony vocals. Good Times.
Just remember the good times, baby. All the hard times.
So another guy from the Nerves?
Yeah, Paul Collins was the drummer in the Nerves, but he switched to guitar and he was the front man for his band, The Beat. And so this is the reason that the English Beat were called the English Beat,
right,
because
right,
there was
right,
this
right.
band called The Beat. Their first album, I think it came out in 79, one of my favorite albums of all time. And then for their second album, they switched it to the Paul Collins Beat. And that album's almost as good as the first one. It's called The Kids Are the Same. Amazing. I mean, I couldn't recommend those two records more. So great. But the song I picked is from an EP from 85 that only came out in France. And so I thought this was the most... This song had like a certain level of bossiness that made me pick this one. It's, you know, it's not... It doesn't sound exactly like Springsteen, but I think it has a lot... It's very Springsteen feel. And
I
just think... A Bruce fan would dig the song. Like, they're going to dig anything by Paul Collins, I think. I mean, he was so great, so.
I hear a lot with the, like, some of the new wave, you know, songs that you picked here, that era, that they kind of, a lot of influenced by the darkness and maybe, you know, those darkness outtakes, like that Promise record. Like, I could hear this song on that. Like, some of the stuff Bruce was working on but didn't make the record kind of sounds like this.
So right, right,
you know,
yeah.
Like I hear a lot of the similarities to Bruce and, you know, but the one thing I'll say, though, is a lot of these songs kind of sound like Bruce, but they're lacking a little bit in the, you know, a little bit of the sophistication of the writing, the lyrics, you know, and the ranging and stuff like that. I just don't think it's on the level as Springsteen, but it's, you know, you can hear the influence in some of that, these songs. Like, you know, a lot of the lyrics, like, they're missing that third verse twist, you know, like that little...
Yeah, yeah,
that little
your favorite.
Dark dagger in the back that Springsteen kind of throw into a song, right? But, yeah, I dug this song, Working on a Good Thing, kind of like California power pop. Kind of thing,
yeah,
like guitar-driven new wave. You know, instead of like the keyboard-driven new wave, this is like you know, guitar-driven new wave kind of stuff.
Yeah, the first album by The Beat is just a rock and roll classic.
Yeah.
You could save me with one tender kiss. Your world.
touch of your hand. Come on, baby, let your love make me a man. Come on, girl. I need to feel you near me. Your arms wrapped around me. Please say that you believe me. And I'm working on a good thing.
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 So many times in life we must say no. But maybe tonight you don't have to go. Surely you need loving like I do. Come on, baby, it ain't nothing new. Come on, girl, I need your affection.
Guy from the Nerves is Peter Case, and he was the bassist in the Nerves, but he's rhythm guitar frontman for the Plimsolls.
Yeah, I was more familiar with that band.
Yeah, they're, I guess, Million Miles Away is their most famous song.
Yeah, that's a great tune.
The first Plimsolls album is a total classic, and this song that I picked, Everyday Things, is the last song on the record. This song's kind of been my favorite Plimsolls song, and I think it's very up-tempo, like maybe more up-tempo than almost any Bruce song, but I don't know. Bruce songs are never quite this
positive
up-tempo.
And happy.
Yeah. But I do think it has a total Springsteen vibe, and also I know I had read at some point, I think Bruce was a fan. Peter Case went on to have like a singer-songwriter kind of career after the Plimsolls, and I think Bruce was a fan of him, and I think they were kind of friends at some point. I don't know if they still are, but they definitely interacted, and Bruce used to just call these guys up. You used to hear these stories about how Bruce would be a fan of even just one song. I think there was one Peter Case song that Bruce loved, and he like called him up, or I don't remember, but
yeah, it's funny because it's like these guys are California based, right? All three of these guys we played, and whereas Bruce is like, you know, East Coast, New Jersey, where it's like snowing and it's like a little bit tougher, you know, like to live there. So you hear kind of these guys singing about their daily life, everyday things, which is a little bit different than like, you know, the everyday things back in New Jersey, you know? But it's cool. You hear Bruce when he went into his like 92 California Human Touch Lucky Town era, like that's sound could have been like more, you know, where he was coming from with this, if he'd never been from New Jersey kind of thing, you know. It'd be interesting to see what Bruce would do with an arrangement on a song like this, if he were to cover it or something like that. That would be kind of cool.
I think it would be great if he did.
I wake up every day with an egg in my head.
Cretones, this band, they had two albums on Planet Records in 80 and 81. One of those bands that there's a bunch of bands that got signed after the Knack became like the biggest thing for a year or two. Like all the labels went out just trying to sign the next Knack, and they signed all these bands, and then
Skinny
all those bands,
and
a lot of those bands seem to have two albums because they all got two album deals, and then so they put out two records and then they disappeared. And this is one of those bands. They were an LA band, and this is, I mean, they get called power pop, but they've got a lot of roots rock kind of elements, and they're definitely not one of my favorite bands or anything, but I think Springsteen fans would like them. And this song, Cost of Love, it's from their first album, Thin Red Line. I think I sent you a song, I think, from their second album, too, but then I cut it from the list.
Yeah, I made a note saying this is a fucking good song, one of my favorites off your list. Yeah,
yeah, it's a good one. Yeah,
I was just like, whoa, that organ and quarter note stomp like on the drums off the top is like very Springsteen. You know, it's, once again, that kind of Darkness era vibe. It's got a cool kind of Springsteen-esque guitar solo in it.
Yeah, it's funny. I guess, like you were saying, it's those outtakes. Like, I mean, we all know that some of Bruce's greatest songs didn't make the records. Right. And I think that's a lot of, these songs are more reminiscent probably of a lot of those, which are some of my favorite Bruce songs ever, you know, some of those non-album tracks.
Absolutely.
Like Take 'Em As They Come and, you know, Roulette and, you know, all those awesome songs, Don't Look Back. There's so many great songs that weren't on the records. So
good, great chorus on this song. I really love the chorus.
Yeah, yeah. It's great production too. Yeah.
I also read too a little note. These guys were like Linda Ronstadt's backup band for. She made like a new wave rock record called Mad Love.
Right, and I think the guy wrote like three songs on it or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's a Linda Ronstadt record I think too. So cool connection.
You're in deeper than you see. What you need, what you want. Hey, they're not the same thing.
This record, I don't know how well known it is. Paul Warren and Explorer. This guy was in a band called Night City, which I have that album, but it's not any good. And that band had was a Ray Manzarek from The Doors band, and also had Nigel Harrison. So he was in that band between Silverhead, and then he joined Blondie.
Yeah.
It's not a good album. Paul Warren, I guess, was the guitar player in that band, and then he had this album, Paul Warren and Explorer. I think he was big like in LA. I think this band was pretty big on the strip, like late 70s, if I remember right.
Well, he's a guitar like songwriter mostly. Like I read, he played with Rod Stewart for the longest time recently.
Right? Yeah. He went on to
Richard
to be
Marx
like a,
too, yeah. like a session guy kind of. Right?
Yeah.
I dug.
Yeah,
his
he
song.
Just had this one record, and then you know never did anything else. Like himself, you know. But this was on RSO, and Robert this is Stewart. Kind of the heavy end of power pop, like the hard rock.
Yeah, fast rocker, like guitar driven.
Yeah.
This
right,
one
yeah.
kind of reminds me slightly of like the, you know, the Held Up Without a Gun kind of Bruce, that sort of frantic, almost not punk, but like, you know, rock and roll, a little fast, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I just thought Bruce's fans would like this song. You know, I thought it was just, it's a cool song, you know. The Others, I like it. Yeah. What does he say? I don't do what the others do. You don't have to do what the others do. It's a cool
kind of a Bruce theme, you know, to the lyric.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't try to be what the others be, 'cause you can't see what the others see. When you do as others do, it's all somebody does it better than you. So don't try to go what the others go, 'cause you don't know what the others know. Well, some people are to what they say. They change their minds from day to day. Well, they'll tell you one thing and then turn around, change their mind again. Try to be what the others be. But some people were meant to be middle class 20th century. So don't try to be what the others be. No, 'cause you can't see what the others see.
Next, you got Jules and the Polar Bears, You Just Don't Wanna. Now, I know Jules Shear, he's the main guy in this band, right?
Yeah.
I know him from writing All Through the Night by Cyndi Lauper, and I love that song. He wrote If She Knew What She Wants by the Bangles.
Yeah, that's like his biggest claim to fame, yeah. I guess, is that Bangles song. And he was in a band called Funky Kings, which in the mid-70s, that's one of those records that I've heard and then I've seen it in the stores but never bought it. But then there were these two albums by Jules and the Polar Bears in 78 and 79, and they're pretty good.
Yeah.
And I thought this song, I think this is the first song on the first album, and I thought it had a very Bruce and the E Street Band feel to me, and I've always really dug this song. So
very very Asbury Park rock and roll with the piano and horns and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
He's kind of got that East Coast accent, you know, singing style too, right? So that's
right.
That kind of gives it with the Bruce vibe too.
And I swear you can hear Clarence singing backups. You know, it's got that, the backup vocals totally sound like that E Street Band sound.
Yeah, singing the chorus on the outro is really cool.
Yeah.
Well, there you are on your new pretty star. You just don't want to know. You made
then you go to a couple songs by you know, a friend of Bruce Springsteen, Willie Nile from Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, I love Willie Nile. He had two albums on Arista in 80 and 81. And yeah, any Bruce fan should seek those albums out because those records are great. And then, but then he disappeared for like 10 years. He didn't have another album until 91.
Right.
And it's called Places I Have Never Been. And yeah, this song, Heaven Help the Lonely, I thought this song was very reminiscent of like more recent Bruce, like post The Rising.
Right.
Like
okay.
The Rising Magic Working on a Dream kind of Bruce song, you know? One of the poppier songs yeah. from that era.
Well, I'm pretty sure Bruce Springsteen's probably got this album in his collection, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Friend and fan of the show, Charles Harrison's a big Willie Nile fan, so you know, he kind of goes down to all of his shows in the States and everything, too. And yeah, cool chorus on this song. I could definitely hear Bruce singing like a duet on him. Or
yeah. On this song. Yeah, I got to see Willie Nile live once in during South by Southwest at one of the days. There's a place in Austin called the Dog and Duck Pub, and the coolest thing about South by Southwest is that the whole week, all day, there's free shows going on.
Yeah,
and so everybody that's in town, like even if you don't buy a wristband and even if you don't go to the showcases, you still get to see almost everybody because they play a day show. And the Dog and Duck Pub would always have like a power pop theme, or like I saw Dwight Twilley there, and I saw the two guys from 2020 there. I saw Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs play there. This was all free. Like,
wow.
Every year we would go down there, and I got to see Willie Nile there one year. It was really great. Yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
another song off his debut record, his 1980 record, right?
Yeah, it was really tough to pick just one song from the first two albums. Like, there's a bunch of songs I could have picked, but I landed on I'm Not Waiting. It's got the piano. It's got, like, Roy Bittan sounding piano in it.
Prominent piano, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
This one I wrote down, it's kind of got a Buddy Holly meets Bruce Springsteen vibe to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a song from it, that album called That's the Reason that I really love. That's a total Buddy Holly song.
Yeah. cool, yeah. So, yeah, cool song. But, you know, once again, I got to say, you know, some of these songs are kind of missing that kind of lyrical sophistication, you know, that poetic mastery that, you know, Brooks kind of possesses, you know. So, you know, it needs a third verse twist, you know.
Now that you say that, I mean, I didn't even consider the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. I know ideas. I know you're not really a lyrics guy. You're a music kind of guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking more of like a Springsteen and E Street Band vibe. And yeah.
Willie Nile, I'm Not Waiting.
You didn't come home last Thursday night. I waited for you in the pale moonlight. I twiddled my fingers and I stared at the floor. The thunder rolled on and it started to pour. My feet got tired and my shoe got wet. I felt about as lonely as a fellow can get.
So then you picked something from Canada, right? Pagliaro, Time Race.
Yeah, I thought this one sounded a lot like a Born to Run type song.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love this guy. He's one of my favorites. And this song came out in 77. And there's a French version of this song that came out in 76.
Oh, with just like all French lyrics?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Pagliaro switched back and forth between French and English on his records a lot, so... He had a record in 76 that was all in French, and this song was on there. And then 77, he had a record called Time Race that was all in English. And but otherwise, it's pretty much exactly the same, except for the just translated, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't searched out many of his records. I know his hits. Like, I know Loving You Ain't Easy and Don't Know What the Hell I Got. Like, those songs are played all the time. But you did one episode full on Pag, and it was really cool that you turned me on to a bunch of songs that I'd never heard by him. You know, even being from Toronto, you'd think... You know, he would get played all the time being from Quebec, but, you know, he doesn't. I guess it's that English-French segregation thing, you know?
Yeah, 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 the Francophone thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a whole episode about Francophone, which is the Quebec scene that's in French.
Right.
It's very interesting. But, yeah, Loving You Ain't Easy is one of my favorite songs of all time. I just love it so much.
Good, yeah. And pretty fucked up album cover on this, right? Like, it's it's like a dude in leather pants crouched down and he's like wearing a gas mask or something like that.
yeah. like futuristic but cheap.
Yeah.
We want to make it futuristic, but we had a very small budget.
Yeah.
You tell me, babe, that you feel sick. It takes the breath away from you. I'll tell you, baby, what you need. I'll kill for your broken heart just to set you free.
Of course, Bruce fans are going to be very familiar with this guy, Nils Lofgren.
Yeah.
And this is a song from his 1983 album, Wonderland, called I Wait For You. And
yeah, so this is
this is a good album.
This is pre-E Street Band Nils Lofgren.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, he had a bunch of albums. And his first album from 75 is one of my favorite albums. It's so great. He never even came close to making a record as good as that. But but Wonderland is a good album. But I just thought this song sounded so much like Springsteen that it would be fun.
It's almost like fun. Bruce heard this and he's like, yeah, maybe this cat can fit the band pretty good. You know?
Right.
Huge Bruce sound on this song specifically, like, from the guitar playing, just a killer, great guitar solo on this. And then the singing, he's doing like the sha-la-la stuff on it, the arrangements, the dynamics between the verses and the chorus. Like this is some of the stuff that I think is missing in some of these other songs, is this kind of like, Springsteen arrangement techniques, dynamics and the kind of stuff like that. And you hear a lot of that in this song for sure.
Yeah, this is probably the one I sent you that sounds the most like Springsteen, I guess. And it's also funny because it's Nils Lofgren, so.
This being alone is making me old. Sha-la-la, sha-la, still I wait for you. And the night wind blows such a lonesome cold. Sha-la-la, sha-la, still I wait for you. Yeah, sha-la. Girls in my neighborhood that would love to cherish and treat me good, but like a poor man waits for a Cadillac he'll never have, I'm waiting on you.
Got a couple of songs from a guy I like, Syl Sylvain from the New York Dolls, and a couple songs off his solo records, right?
Yeah, Sylvain. I remember in Austin in like 98 or whenever, when I found that record for a buck, and who would have thought?
The debut one, the pink one?
Yeah, the debut one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first song we're playing here is from the second album, but I just, of course I loved the New York Dolls, but I didn't even know at the time. This was before I was on the internet or anything. I didn't even know that he had a solo album. Yeah, and I found it. I remember the store I found it at. It was in like the mall. It was in the mall down in Austin. That mall's not even there anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's like a giant bookstore that had tons of records too. And I was blown away when I got that record. I had no idea, how great it was. And then eventually got his second album, which is called Syl Sylvain and the Teardrops.
Right.
And that's what this song is from. I Can't Forget Tomorrow, which is a great title. And yeah, this is a great song. And it's got that piano, like maybe a Roy Bittan sound in there. Yeah. And
You almost hear like Bruce and Syl kind of had similar influences, right? Like this kind of the Spectre '60s girl group kind of thing,
right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
So they're probably listening to the same songs and.
Sure. Yeah.
You know that piano lick on there with the more like la 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 la's on there. You know, very Springsteen stuff.
Yeah, this song totally stands out on that record, and I just thought it was great, and it would be fun for you to play on here, and people would get into it.
Solo record, 1979. I love this record a lot. Great cover. It's all pink with him doing like that rock and roll guitar pose on it, right?
Yeah, it's a great cut. It's such a great album, and who would have thought, you know, who would even know? But yeah, it's killer record, killer rock and roll album. And
it sounds like another one of those Darkness outtakes, like the Promise vibe on this, you know, the Springsteen meets Buddy Holly vibe.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how much this song sounds like Bruce. I just think the song is so great that people should hear it, you know, and it does have a Bruce vibe, but then he's got little like flamenco guitar in there or something, like, you know, some different stuff. But
yeah, it's like a 12 string, like Rickenbacker playing like this counterpoint line, which is really neat, you know?
Yeah. But this is one of those songs. That's like, this should have been a hit song, you know, every boy and every girl it's called. And it's just so great.
Yeah.
So,
whoa,
yeah.
So good, yeah.
Oh, it's killer. Love it.
All over and gladly do it again.
Yeah, two more. Yeah, this one is just for a laugh. I like it, but D.L. Byron, this guy, he wrote Shadows of the Night, which if you think about it, that sounds like a Bruce song too. That sounds like a corny version of Springsteen. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, this dude I noticed sings like Bruce. Like he's trying.
Yeah,
to sing
exactly.
Like Bruce,
that's right? Why. Yeah, that's why I was saving this for towards the end because he sounds so much. It sounds like he's aping Springsteen. You know, so obviously.
Yeah.
On this and this is a good album this day and age, except the vocals are just kind of over the top ridiculous. I mean, as soon as you hear it, you're like it's almost like this guy's making fun of Springsteen or something. Yeah. It's like this is like an over the top impression of Springsteen or something. But there's cool. Really good songs on this album, and I tried to pick the one that was the most Bruce-esque, I guess, 21st Century Man. I mean, I could have put any song from this record just because of the vocals,
right?
You know, just for a laugh. But definitely not my favorite song from the album. There's a great song on here called Love in Motion. That's a great power pop song. And there's some other better songs than this one, but this one, I guess, had the most Springsteen feel to it.
In the year of
I'm
one, your last pick. Your sounds like Bruce Springsteen number one song. What do you got there?
Joey's on the Street Again by the Boomtown Rats. I always thought that this sounded like a song from Greetings from Asbury Park or something like that.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it does. It sounds like early Bruce, like wordy, storyteller.
Yeah. Well, I wrote down like I think the songwriting on this song is probably better than most on the list. You know, I assume written by Bob Geldof. It's more of a character song kind of thing, like the kind of stuff Bruce would do.
Right.
You know, I guess the song's about a street kid that, you know, didn't grow out of it the way his friends did kind of thing, right? Like, really cool lyrics on this. And it kind of has that Springsteen third verse where I think, like, all of his friends leave Joey in the city kind of alone, right?
Right. Yeah, that's why I saved this one for last, because this is... You kind of wouldn't expect it if you're not familiar with the Boomtown Rats.
Right,
but,
yeah.
And this was actually on their first album, which... Yeah, you know, there's a lot of punk elements on their first record. And then it got tacked on to, at least it's on the U.S. version of the second album, Tonic for the Troops, which is a great record.
So what year was this? Would have been? Was this like early 80s or?
77 is when it first came out. Yeah, on the first album.
Because I was going to say, like, it sounds like stuff off the river, but I'm like, I think this came out first, right? There's the piano organ, there's a sax solo. Like the sax solo sounds like there's actually some licks from, if you listen to Clarence's Ties That Bind sax solo, it sounds like there's a couple of licks from this, but I guess this predated that by 3 years. So, you know, maybe Clarence heard this or Bruce heard this and you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sure if I was right, but I know that I just always thought that this just sounded a lot like a Springsteen song. And it was weird because it was the Boomtown Rats. And I mean, they have a couple other songs. Like Rat Trap from Tonic from the Troops kind of has this same vibe going on. And yeah, Geldof, he had put a lot of words in those songs that gives it more of that early Bruce
feel.
Yeah.
And some arrangement things, use the dynamics. He brings the band down, you know, the bass after the solo and then, you know, builds it back up for the last verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the atmosphere, the dynamics and everything. Yeah.
Strange it happened, there's trouble on the way, and trouble only means one thing. Joey's on the street again.
Yeah. when Joey moved away. A lot of the kids said I can't stay around here. They said I'm moving out.
Thanks for sharing your Sounds Like Bruce list with us. That's awesome. Hope we turn some people on to some new songs that, you know, I guess Springsteen fans would probably like. That's kind of what we were trying to do with this show, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know.
let us know what you liked.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And we'll see you and everyone else at the Nashville Rockin' Pod this August. That's going to be a fun time, man.
Hell yeah. Can't wait.
All right. All right. Thanks, BJ.
Thank you, Lee.
So, that's the show, folks. Thanks for listening. You can find us on our website at trampslikeuspod.com, communicate with us on Facebook at our Tramps Like Us podcast group page, and on Twitter at Tramps Like Us Pod. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes, where you can leave a review and a 5-star rating. Tramps Like Us podcast is a nonprofit audio fanzine created by fans for fans and is available for free. We are not affiliated with Bruce Springsteen or Columbia Sony Records. If you've heard any music you like, please find it and purchase it from brucespringsteen.net, iTunes, Amazon, your local record store, or wherever music is sold. As always, gratitude and respect to Bruce Springsteen and all past and current members of the heart-stopping, pants-dropping, hard-rocking, booty-shaking, earth-quaking, love-making, Viagra-taking, history-making, testifying, death-defying, legendary, E Street Band.
BJ Clamp. I'll be back.